At Highland, we're all about celebrating little wins and little ways to innovate digital processes. There's no customer pain point too small for us to help with. Maybe that's why more than half of the Fortune 100 looks to Highland to connect their content and data, improve processes, and turn little efficiencies into big wins for their customers and clients. Highland, intelligent content solutions for innovators everywhere at highland.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
It's Mairead Ronan in for Andrea today, and you can get in touch on WhatsApp 087 1400 106. Now, a new survey has shown that the most valued skill for a parent is patience. Also on the list are responsibility, showing affection, and time management. But do you think patience is the most important skill? Psychiatrist Brendan Kelly is on the line. Good afternoon, Brendan.
Good afternoon, Mairead.
Do you agree with the results from that survey?
Yeah, the survey shows that patience is the most highly valued skill in parents, followed by responsibility and consistency. And I think a lot of parents out there will say patience is perhaps the, if you like, the one that tends to be in short supply, or the skill that gets tested the most when being a parent. So, yeah, I have to say I would tend to agree. Maybe affection should be a little higher up on the list as well, because without some affection, it can be difficult to maintain the patience, although patience does tend to be the flashpoint for a lot of parenting situations.
It's funny. I think patience is something that comes with just good time management, because generally, I think a parent will lose their patience with a child who's not putting on their shoes or not brushing their teeth because they need to get out the door. So I think time management, if you've got really good time management, that will lend itself to having good patience.
Well, yes, I mean, obviously it will. And, you know, this is one of the life skills that we can model for children, because children do what they see their parents doing.
They really do.
More than, yeah, even more than what parents might tell them to do. And they emulate behavior. So modeling a good life skill like patience is important. The other thing about patience, of course, is that parenting is a tough gig, and ultimately it's about survival, and we need to survive in order to be steady and reliable and strong for the children, so they see us that way. And patience is such an important part of just surviving, because parenting is tough. There are ups and downs and all kinds of things that one has to endure and manage. So this is such an important life skill, be it the time management, the patience, or the stress management.
And is it something that a parent, somebody who before they had children didn't have very good patience and then they become a parent, is it something that they can learn?
Yeah, it absolutely is, because we can improve our skills in being patient a great deal. And one of the good sort of slogans to bear in mind is, in lots of situations, is that I don't need to fix this, I just need to get through this. So that's very often the case with children who are being, difficult, being reluctant, being slow to do things, and that often it's just a matter of sitting it out. We can't actually actively fix it in the moment, but by simply being there and being very steady, we can endure for longer than they can. And patience is a very important part of that. And it also teaches children about responding to problems by being very steady and very, very patient when it happens.
Yeah, and calm.
Yeah, and being calm. I mean, what children ultimately need from us is they need us to be there. They need us to be present. What we say and what we do doesn't matter as much as the quality of our tone, our steadiness, our reliability, and giving them this solid foundation. And it's so hard. It is just so difficult. And sometimes I think we don't articulate this often enough, just how challenging it is to be a parent and to navigate these complicated situations, and to tell ourselves there is no right way to do this. There is only the best I can do now. And that involves a lot of patience and a lot of self-forgiveness.
I think it's very hard to be a parent nowadays, because we're so afraid and we're constantly questioning. I'm saying this because I'm a parent of three children, Brendan. We're so afraid of getting it wrong. Whereas I think my parents just did it. My mum was the boss. I knew she was the boss. I needed to, you know, she laid down the law. There was no point in me asking my dad, could I go to a disco? Because he would just say, ask your mother. And it felt easier for them than it does for us now. But maybe I'm mistaken.
That is an absolute tribute to their parenting skills, Mairead. I have no doubt it was just as difficult as it is now. I have no doubt they were just as conflicted. They had just as many problems and they wondered, am I doing this right, in the exact same way? But the real gift to you there was they came across to you as being very clear in what they were doing, very reliable, very skilled. And, you know, I bet you're coming across the same way, even though it might not feel like that to you when you're dealing with your three children. I bet you come across as just as steady as your parents did to you.
Oh, well, hopefully Maureen was very clear, very, very clear parent. Thanks for that, Brendan. I'm going to go to Keith Walsh, podcaster and parent. Good afternoon, Keith.
Hello, Mairead. How are you? You're doing a great job. Oh, don't worry about it. You're doing a great job. Don't be worrying about it.
Well, I'll parent you right through the next few minutes, Keith, now, okay?
That'd be great.
Would you consider yourself a very patient parent?
I do look at that list and I think love should be at the top of every list. And I'm not even talking about affection, I'm talking about love. And I think that we're sort of, sometimes as parents, we come at this from a place of control, right?
Mm.
And it's understandable control because we feel like we have people to answer to. We feel like we have this to do, we have this to do, we have this to do. And as a parent, we need to make sure you grow up as a rounded child. So you need to do a bit of this, a bit of piano, a bit of football, a bit of school, a bit of it. So all of these things are set out, right? And we don't even question those things, right? So the patience comes in then when we have to either get a child out to school, get to do the thing. And what we should really be doing is looking at where we lose our patience and ask ourselves why we're losing our patience and what is the thing that we're trying to get to on time. So it allows us the time and the space to think about the situation and ask ourselves, are all these things necessary or are we being controlled by outside forces? As in, do we need to do these things? As you know, as was just said there by
Brendan Kelly, yep.
Psychiatrist. What we need is we just need to sit to be with our children.
Yeah.
We just need to show them that we love them. We just need to. It's not always important that we get to the thing. It's not always important. I mean, I suppose what we think we're doing is showing them the importance of arriving on time, on being punctual, on sticking with something. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes we're pushing against something that is obviously not something that the child is either interested in, wants to do, or more importantly, has the energy to do. So if you find that your child just won't get up for school and won't go into school, we need to look at that. We need to look at the why. We can't just be lazy and fall back on words like lazy. Mm. It's not always the case. So I think that the list is very helpful in a way, but if we start from a place of love, if we look at the amount of control we want to exert on our children, and I like to think that my children are people. I don't feel like I need to control them. I have a daughter in university. I didn't ever feel like I had to control her. She does kind of her own thing. My son is a little bit of a different story. He doesn't do well in school because of neurodivergence. And so we have to look at that differently, and we have to accept where he's at. And quite often, like if you look at, as a thing that I always say, we're all doing our best, right?
Mm.
So as a parent, if every day you imagine and you believe that you, not only are you doing your best, not only is your husband, partner, you know, whoever is helping you, or if you're on your own, everyone is doing their best, the child is doing their best, right?
Mm.
So if everyone's doing their best, ... given the circumstances. So if you walk into your child's room and, you know, 15, 16, and they're still in bed and it's 2 o'clock, you're not going to get them to get a job in the next hour or even by Monday, right? So look at them and think, okay, this is that child's best given the circumstances.
But that's where patience will come in, I suppose. The patience to not roar and shout and pull the duvet off them and say, get out of that bed now. It is to sit down and have that chat about what you're saying.
If you imagine that they're doing their best and this is their best on a given day, but you want their best to look different, so then you have to look at the circumstances. So what are the circumstances? And once you go through the circumstances, you can see little things you can change that makes their best look different. And then it's collaborative. And then you'll see that they're responding to you. You're finding out what they actually want to do. You find out what they're afraid of, what their anxiety is like, what they want, you know, what their interests are. And then you start it from a whole different thing. And I suppose ultimately, yes, that takes patience, understanding and love. And stop trying to control, you know.
Okay. And you mentioned love lots of times there. I suppose love can be displayed or shown to your child in so many different ways, whether that is through patience, through affection, through just listening, through understanding. So love can be shown to them in so many different ways.
Yeah, but we feel like we're showing love by, you know, paying for the piano lessons that they don't want. We feel like we're showing love by, you know, bringing them to the training station that they don't want to go to. Like we sometimes feel like we are showing them love by being responsible parents, by getting them so that they're rounded members of society. And this is how you do it, according to what we've learned.
Yeah.
But it's different for them and it looks different for them. And love should be expressed through hugs, affection and being told that you love them and listening. Trust.
Listening
and trust are huge ways that parents can show that they love their children, because if you trust your child, they feel trusted, they get to express themselves, and then there's a lot more love in the air. Do you know what I mean?
Well, I'm a parent 17 years tomorrow. My son turns 17 tomorrow, and I have gotten through the 17 years by constantly reminding myself I have two ears and one mouth for a reason. So I have to listen on the double, talk on the single. That's what I do. That's my parenting. That is how I get through my parenting. Thanks for that, Keith. I'm going to talk to Alwyn Moran. Alwyn, you're on the line there. Hello.
Hi.
How you doing?
Marie.
So you're a neurodevelopmental therapist and you're a founder of Cogni Kids.
Yes.
I know your products. I have used your products. I have indeed. The brilliant little baby grows with the little grabby knee thingies. And
that's it, how crawling.
Not the correct term. I would say they're not called the grabby knee thingies, but they were very, very popular in our house.
Yeah, crawl shoes, exactly.
Yeah. So tell
and
me.
A whole host
of other things that I did have too. I'm out the other side of that now, Alwyn. So why is patience the most important skill, do you think?
I think it's like, so Keith and Brendan have mentioned some really good points, and I actually think patience is kind of the pivotal point for so many other things. Mm-hmm. So, you know, number one, as parents, we need patience with ourselves, because, you know, we may have expectations of what kind of parent we're going to be or what kind of children we're going to have or even what kind of day or experience that, you know, our children will have. Like, we constantly have expectations. And I actually think that we need to have patience with ourselves and to know to not have expectations, because our children will have other plans. And, you know, as I always say, the best laid plans and all of that. So I think if you understand, kind of remove expectations as much as possible, that takes a lot of pressure off, which can also help alleviate the overwhelm. Because don't forget, you know, like in many, many households, there's more than one child.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, each child has different needs for different kids.
Very different personalities, which is
absolutely
something that is
all at the same time.
Yeah.
You know,
I've never understood it.
Three kids coming to you all looking for different things. And, you know, and that can actually just frazzle your patience. It literally can overwhelm you. So you just can't deal with anything else. Besides kind of the time management side of patience, I always think patience is so much more complex than just, I have to be somewhere on time. So let's move, you know?
Yeah.
So that there is all these moments, they're kind of micro moments where I always love to say it is, if we can parent ourselves first, that's the most important thing. Because when we're parenting ourselves, we understand what are our triggers, what's causing us to lose, you know, kind of our sanity or, you know, like our patience, essentially, with our children. You know, why are we, let's take, for example, we're bringing our 3-year-old for a walk in the park.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a 3-year-old will want to stop and look at every blade of grass and every daisy and
mm-hmm.
every leaf and every piece of muck and dance and jump in every,
puddle yeah.
and the whole shebang. And the walk that we might have envisaged which would be for our needs, would take 15, 20 minutes.
It's but to go and get a coffee and turn long. Around and go home. But the three-year-old wants
exactly.
to have a very different
Absolutely.
Idea.
Absolutely. And we have very different needs. So again, that ties in with empathy as well. So empathy isn't just like, you know, empathizing with somebody in a situation that's challenging. Empathy is actually just putting yourself in the shoes of the other person and kind of going, what are their needs in this moment? And so if you kind of think about it like that constantly, and look at, I'm a parent, I have a 17-year-old and a 19-year-old. So, you know, like, none of us are perfect, and we have other external forces as well. Sometimes that can cause us to just like lose reason and roar and whatever else. But that's also okay, because what you're showing your kids is that you can lose it, but you come back and you repair the harm and you acknowledge and say, look, I'm really sorry. I actually overreacted there, but I felt overwhelmed. So if you name what you're feeling, it's really actually giving healthy guidelines and life skills, as Brendan mentioned, to your children about it's okay to feel big feelings.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they control us and they take over. But when we calm down, the most important thing is if any harm has been done, we come back and we repair that harm. So you're modeling how to apologize.
Yes.
Because, you know, so many parents expect their children to apologize when they've had a tantrum. But when the parent has had a tantrum, they're like, well, I'm the parent, I don't need to apologize.
Oh, we
Where
do.
Where's the modeling? You know, and that's what's really critical there as well. So it's really, really important around that whole space in terms of, I think, patience, but also communication as well. So if you're communicating clearly, you're not going to get as, you know, annoyed and het up and kind of like, oh my God, didn't I just, you know, explain this to you? And you can start it from very early, you know, take the likes of the walk in the park again. You explain, you know, okay, so you're going to walk and you're going to hold mum's hand and this is what we're going to do and, you know, okay, and so on. So you've explained clear expectations rather than saying don't run, walk, because they don't hear the don't part. So they'll just hear run and
run.
Off they go. Yeah, we always know that. Like, you know, you actually are very clear and specific about the behavior that you want to see, not the behavior you don't want to see. If you focus on what you do want to see, and you explain that to your child in age-appropriate terms. So obviously you're not going to talk to a 12-year-old the same way as you talk to a 3-year-old. But it's the same if you're going out for dinner, you know, could be to a relative, could be to a restaurant, whatever. And you're kind of explaining, now we're going to have lovely dinner. You're going to order something that, you know, and you're going to eat it and we're going to sit at the table. We're going to talk. We're going to have, you know, blah, blah, blah. So you're giving clear expectations, then you're going to model that behavior, because don't forget their mirror neurons in their brain help them like learn and really mimic. They learn through mimetic learning. So they will mimic what you're trying to show and explain. And then that in itself then helps to calm down any possible moments for triggering as a parent where you can lose the patience. So you've got all of these areas that if you can work on and be mindful, which again, I hear the sharp intake of breath, but you know, it's all these, they're micro moments throughout the day. But if you actually kind of focus on some of them, not all of them, but if you can focus on some of them and practice those, and then after a number of days or weeks, that actually becomes something that's much more automated and allows you then to focus on something new that you're, you know, that you're working. But parenting is a constant journey anyway, because our kids are constantly changing and they're constantly pushing boundaries. They're supposed to.
It's a shocker, isn't it? Because I would have thought once, you know,
so
my son who's 17 tomorrow, I would have thought, you know, when I got him to school, I could take a big, you know, relaxy breath and go.
It's more complex as they get older.
But every year I've gone, I had never parented a 7-year-old boy before. Then he turns 8. I've never parented an 8-year-old boy. I'd never parented a teenage boy. And now, you know, this September he heads into 6th year and I'm just, you know, I need a big dollop of patience for that one, I'd say, come September. So it's constantly, constantly changing.
And that's why if you can put yourself in their shoes as much as possible, think, what are their needs? Mm. Not mine. What are their needs?
That's great advice.
And it's just, it buys you a bit of time so that you don't hit that 10 and go off the deep end, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of like, why are they zoned out now? Because they're home from school, they've had a really intense day, and they just need half an hour of nobody talking to them, no input anywhere. Just allow them to come down and
I know.
Kind of,
sometimes
know,
they just like
themselves.
To chill out at home. There's a message
Absolutely.
Here. Mairead is correct. Parents in the past laid down the law. No such thing as sleeping until lunchtime. They knew how to say no. It did not affect us mentally, but it made us better people with respect for authority. And that's from Mick in Donegal. And we have another text here. I think we've lost the art of patience in general, not just in parenting. Everything needs to be done immediately and now. We have everything at our fingertips and can't wait for anything anymore. There's no name on that text, but I think I would probably agree with that. Thanks to Keith and to Brendan and to Alwyn for that. I enjoyed that chat.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.